Let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no contradiction. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth. I will declare and decree at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is. Luke's Gospel 24. Luke's Gospel chapter 24. Verse 24. Look at Luke's Gospel 24:24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. Let's read 25 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophet has spoken. 26 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? 27 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So beginning at Moses, then the prophets. Now he expounded unto them the things concerning himself regarding the conversation of his death and his resurrection. Now a background story to that is the fact that, you know, they were discussing his death, you know, and his resurrection. And, you know, Bible tells you that he began at Moses and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, the word there expounded is a word that means, in the Greek, it means to show meaning. Our together, diamenio, is a word that means to show meaning or to interpret. Now, why did Jesus have to interpret? Because at his time, there were three predominant languages. We had the Greek, we had the Hebrew, and we had the Aramaic. Say the Greek, say the Hebrew, and we had the Aramaic. So, it means that Jesus did not speak English. Are you here? Let me say it one more time. Jesus never spoke English. Let me say it one more time. Jesus never knew about the language English. Let me say it one more time. Jesus did not communicate in English language. So English is a newer language that Jesus did not communicate with. So are we together? So when Bible tells you he expounded, it's a word that means to show meaning. And in doing that, there will be such a thing called interpretation. Are we together? So Jesus didn't speak English. Paul didn't speak English. Are we together? So it means what you call the Bible today was never in English in front of them. Are we here? Are we here? So Jesus did not have the ability to say Christ is the or Jesus is the. No. Those are English words that have been translated over the years. So Jesus will expound unto them from Moses. Now, when he says, I'm beginning at Moses, is he talking about the person Moses or the writings of Moses? The writings of Moses, then the writings of the prophets. Then he expounded, that is, he interpreted unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Look at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be what? Fulfilled. With which were written in the what? In the what? Okay, so let's read that together. Which were written, 1, 2, 3, go. Which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, the word there, law, is the Greek word nomos. Now, the reason I told you the Bible wasn't written in English is because you will hear a lot of the Greek and the Hebrew word today. Are we together? And I'll tell you why we have to go back to those words. Now, the word there, law, is the word that means or is spelled nomos in the Greek. It's a word that's spelled nomos in the Greek, N-O-M-O-S. And it's a word that means doctrines or instructions. Doctrines or instructions or revelations, so to say. So when he says the law of Moses, is that the Ten Commandments? Okay. Is that the Ten Commandments? Is that the Ten Commandments? The law of Moses there, is that the Ten Commandments? We just said it is doctrine. So it is their doctrine. Can we say the writings of Moses? Is that the writings of Moses? Right? He now says, and the prophets, is that the writings of the prophets? And the writings of the Psalms concerning what? Me. So the writings of Moses and the writings of the prophets and the writings of the Psalms, or of the Psalms rather, were the foundation for Jesus' teaching ministry. Are we together? So Jesus only had Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? Jesus could not quote the book of Matthew. It was impossible. Because there was no book of Matthew at the time Jesus was on earth. Jesus could not quote the book of Galatians. It was totally impossible. Are we together? Are we here? Are we here? So Jesus could only read, and the apostles could only read and quote Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? Say, Jesus could only read Genesis to Malachi. Say, the apostles could only read Genesis to Malachi. So it means that every doctrine of Jesus is established from Genesis to Malachi. Are we here? Every doctrine of Jesus is established from the writings of Genesis up until what? Malachi. Look at John 1:17 quickly. John 1:17. Are you there? Are you there? John 1:17. Are you there? If you are not there, don't say yes. So. Are you there? John 1:17. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. But grace and truth came by what? Jesus Christ. Where do you suppose the foundation of this statement will be found? Genesis. We just said it. John could not quote John. You know, history shows us that, you know, from Matthew to Revelation, they were all written after the resurrection. Are we here? From Matthew to Revelation, they were all written after Jesus died, finished his earthly ministry, and resurrected. So it means that when you read John 1:17, the best place you will get the teaching or where they are teaching from will be the writings between Genesis to what? Malachi. Are you following me? Right. He now says what? The law was given by Moses. Okay. Listen to what John says. He says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by. That almost seems like Moses gave them something different from what Jesus gave them. Is that not true? The law was given by Moses. No, we are not under the law. We are under grace. Okay. Then grace and truth is by Jesus. Look at Exodus 34. Look at Exodus. Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Exodus 34 verse 6. Who wrote the book of Exodus? More beautiful, you know that. Exodus 34. Look at Exodus 34 quickly. Are you there? Let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. Now, the Lord God is what? Merciful and what? Is that grace? Hold on. Long-suffering and abundant in what? Is that graciousness and truth? Is that grace and truth? Did Moses talk about the grace and the truth about God? So did Moses give them something different from what Jesus gave them? Are we here? So the law that Moses gave is the truth and grace that came by Jesus. Are you here? Now, don't forget, you must not consider law as the legalism or Ten Commandments. Right? There is the law of faith. And there's the law of works, according to Romans, right? But there is such a thing as a law. So it means that the law of Moses is what Jesus taught. Are you here? The law of Moses is what Jesus taught. So the doctrines of Moses was what Jesus taught. So the law that was given by Moses is the grace that is the truth. The word there and is the word kai. We'll look at that shortly. Now it's the word grace that is the truth which came or comes by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So can we say, if go back to John 1:17 quickly. John 1:17. So John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. Can we say the doctrines of Moses was the teaching of the grace and truth that will come by Jesus? Did you get that? I'll say that one more time. The doctrines, that is the law of Moses, is the grace and the truth that will come or that we will see by Jesus Christ. So the law, that is the doctrine of Moses, will be the grace and the truth that comes by Jesus Christ. So go back to Luke 24. That's where we are for now. Look at Luke 24. Are we there? Luke 24, verse 44. Are you back there? Let's read together. And Jesus said unto them, 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto them, these are the words. Hold on. The word their words is the word that is logos in the Greek. It's a word that speaks about a thought or an idea or a systematic approach to something or an ideology, so to say. So the word there, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. That all things must be what? Now, while I was yet with you, was that before his crucifixion? So what is Jesus saying? My teachings before my crucifixion, right? He says, the word which I spoke unto you while I was there with you, that all things must be what? Fulfilled, which were written in the, replace the word law, doctrine, another word, writings of Moses, which were written in the writings of Moses and in the writings of the prophets and in the Psalms. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that the subject matter of my ministry is based on what? The law of Moses. So are you actually under the law? Okay, Sila. Everything about your Christian faith, the man that is the anchor of your faith, my anchor to the ground. Right? He's telling you that what? The words I spoke unto you, they are not different from what Moses taught. So, for you to understand extensively what Jesus taught, you must understand extensively what Moses taught. That's important to note. I'll say one more time. For you to understand extensively what Jesus taught, you must understand extensively what Moses wrote. Because all of Jesus' curriculum were hinged around the writings of Moses, by extension, the prophets and the Psalms. Are we together? So to understand Jesus, you must understand Moses. You're under the law forever. Praise God. You're under the law forever. Look at John. Look at John 5. Let me show you something. This will make it clear. Look at John 5. John 5, verse, look at verse 39. Are you in John 5, 39? As much as possible, I would admonish you as much as possible again to actually look into your Bibles while we teach God's word so that you don't assume I'm framing things for my mind. And actually, it has a way of giving you better understanding when you look into scriptures. Okay? So when we are reading, don't just look at us. Try to open scriptures, right? And try to see what we are reading and try to take notes as much as possible. So if you look at verse 39, it says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have what? Hold on. Scriptures, would that be Genesis to Revelation? John is telling you search the scriptures and you are including Revelation. So you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have what? Eternal life, but they are what? They are they which what? Testify. I mean, now look at verse 45. 1, 2, 3, go. Do not think. Are we in 45? Let's read together as a family. 1, 2, 3, go. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses in whom you trust. Hold on. There is one that accuseth you. It's easy to assume that Jesus is blaming Moses for something. But we've established that the law of Moses is the teaching of Jesus. Are we together? Now, let's do a quick study on that word accuseth. The word they accuseth is the word in the Greek that is katagero, K-A-T-A-G-E-R-O. And it's a word that means to bring to charge against someone. I'll say it again. The word accuseth there. So when it says Moses accuses you or he's the one that accuseth you, right, is a word that means to bring to charge against someone. And it's not necessarily an evil word. Are we together? Are we together? Just like the word Satan. Listen to me carefully. The word Satan in the Greek is the word Satanas. And it's a word that means opposition. The word Satan is the word. Now, when Jesus looks at Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan. What is the word Satan? Satanas, that means what? Opposition. So what is Jesus saying? Is Jesus addressing a demonic activity or an opposition? You are getting it, right? So he says, get thee behind me, Peter. He didn't call Peter devil. He just said, get thee behind me, Satanas. It simply means that get thee behind me, you that is trying to oppose what I'm about to do. Are you here? Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy. 1 Remember, that conversation stemmed from the fact that Peter was saying, my Lord and Savior, you cannot fit to die.
You, eternal life, die?
No. Far be it from you. Look at 1 Timothy. Are you there? Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 20. See what it says. Of whom is Hymenaeus and who? Alexandra, whom I have delivered unto? Unto who? Satan, that is what? Satanas. Hold on. No, go further. Satan, Satanas. Opposition. So look at it again. And of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satanas, say Satanas, that they might learn not to what? Blaspheme. So what is the goal for delivering to Satanas or Satanas? For them to learn. So the goal to deliver to opposition is for them to learn. Look at 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians rather. 1 Corinthians 5. When you speak about the man who was sleeping with his fathers, he says, it is reported amongst you that there is fornication amongst you, and this fornication is not even found amongst Gentiles. So what he now says, now what did Jesus come to earth to do? Jesus came to earth to deliver us from the grip of Satan. Are we together? Is that what Jesus came for? He came to deliver us from the hands of Satan. But look at 2 Corinthians, look at what Paul is saying. Paul says, he says in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 5, 4. Are you there? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you gather together, and my spirit, by the power and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such what? Deliver such a one to who? Satan. Is that Satanas? Is that opposition? For the what? Destruction of the... Can destruction of the flesh be similar to that he may learn? From 1 Timothy. So, a brother was sleeping with his father's wife, and Paul said there's a way to discipline such a one. How can Paul, who said Christ has delivered us from the grip of sin and death and delivered us from the hands of the devil, he would now say, you see that brother, because sleeping with his mother's wife, hand him over to Satan. What's the point? Right? So what is he saying? He's saying hand him over to opposition. Who do you think the opposition there will be? Who do you think the opposition there will be? Someone say, Pastor, don't implicate me. What were they to do? They were to abstain from that brother so that he will not. Now, if you read from verse 2 and 3, you will see that he spoke about how they were doing it free of charge. And, you know, they were free without remorse. So he says, deliver such a one to Satan, that is opposition. The church is Satanas there. Did you hear what? There. Say, I put there. Before you say, Pastor, say the church is Satan. No. The church is the Satanas, the opposition, that they were to deliver such a person to. So the opposition will be in the fact that they will stay away from him, and by doing that, he will what? He will learn. Are you here? So Satan is not always just about that you get. Are we together? So he says that deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That's why he now says, purge out therefore the old living in verse 7, and that ye may be a new lump as ye are living. For even Christ is our what? Passover. So it means that the concept towards of Satanas will have its context within the immediate use. So can you see how the Bible uses Satan, Satanas, for the church? Where am I going to with this? It means that there is no word in the Bible that has an absolute meaning. Even God. God in the Bible, either capital letter G or small letter G, is not always talking about the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The context, the second Corinthians will tell you, the God of this world. The context will determine who is being spoken about. So you can't afford to use a word and generalize it across scriptures. What are we explaining? Accuse. Right? We are explaining accuse through Satanas, that is opposition. Get thee behind me, Satan. Why did they call him Satan? Because he was trying to oppose what Jesus came to do. Did you get that? So go back to John 5. John chapter 5, verse 45. So the church is not always Satanas. John 5, 45. You know, when you read John 5:45, you will think that Jesus is relegating Moses. Are we together? You will think that Jesus is invalidating the ministry of Moses, just like John 1:17. The law. You see anything about law, just look at Moses. But I'm the one who comes with grace and truth. No, the doctrine of Moses is about the grace and truth that will be revealed and seen through Jesus Christ. So when he says, look at verse 45 carefully. Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even what? So what did I say you should consider as the word accuseth first? The word that means to bring to charge against what? Someone. So what did Moses do? He accused them. Hold on. If Jesus is invalidating Moses' ministry, it means that verse 45, 46 must not make sense. Let's read 46 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For had ye... For he... But he just said Moses accused. So it means the accuser there is not entirely an evil word. He said, no, I'm not going to accuse you like Moses. Moses is the one that used to accuse people. He now says that Moses he spoke about. He says, if you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. Let's read 47 together where he crowns it up. Look at 47, 1, 2, 3, go. If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my word? So the words of Jesus will be found in the teachings of who? Moses. Accusing means to bring to charge against someone. What is Jesus discussing in verse 46 and 47? If you had believed Moses. So what is Jesus talking about in that context? Believing or not believing? Are we here? So Moses' writings accused them of unbelief. So what is Jesus doing? Jesus is equating Moses' ministry to his ministry. So you can't understand Jesus without Moses. You know, Moses is a very mighty man. We grew up trying to put Moses behind. And then 14, no, that's not that Moses. Leave Moses alone. Are we together? So Bible says that if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. So listen to me carefully. It means that when you read the writings of Moses, Moses is writing about who? Jesus Christ. So right from Genesis 1, you should see Jesus Christ in scriptures. Are you here? Mind you, the word Jesus will not be found all across Genesis to Malachi. No, Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. 5 books. And none of those books carry the word Jesus or Christ in English. But Jesus says, if you believe his writings, you ought to believe my words because his writings are what I'm teaching. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. So Jesus equates his ministry to that of Moses. So the entirety of Jesus' ministry was built on the foundation of the law of Moses. 10 commandments or doctrine? 10 commandments or doctrine? 10 commandments or doctrine? So are we under the law? You didn't get that? You know, one of the easiest cliches we got when we started learning God's word. Oh, I'm not under the law. You're under the law, my brother. It is the type of law we need to differentiate. There's a law of faith and a law of works, according to Romans, Paul in Romans. So the law of Moses, so it means that in Moses' teaching, he was teaching the law of faith, which is the grace and truth that will come by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So it means that we don't use the word law absolutely for legalism or Ten Commandments. In the Bible study or in Bible study, we don't generalize words. So imagine I wake up one Monday morning and I say, I want to go and fix my car. The next morning I wake up and I say, I want to go and fix money in the bank. Did I use the same word fix? Are they in different contexts? One is to fix my car. Is that to repair? And the other one is not to repair my money. It's to what? Deposit money in the bank. I want to fix my car and I want to what? Fix my money. So the same word fix, but the context determines how it will be used. So a Bible student ought not to give general meanings to words. So if you look at the order in which the Bible is written, who was the first person to write about Jesus? Wait, what is the first book in your Bible? Who wrote Genesis? So if I now ask you a simple question, who was the first person to write about Jesus? You've answered it now. You see, it's not complex. So go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. We're getting into the word gradually. I'm still introducing for today, okay? Matthew 28, verse 18. Are we here? And when Jesus came and spake unto them, he said, all power, are you there? Matthew 28, 18. Let's read all power together. 1, 2, 3, go. All power is given unto me in where? Are you in church this evening? All power is given unto me in where? Who is the first person to mention heaven and earth? Moses.
So where is this writing or this teaching coming from? It means you must understand Moses' heaven and earth before you understand Jesus' heaven and earth. So when you go to Genesis 1, in the beginning God created heavens and earth, heaven and earth. Or so can we say in the beginning God created where dead people go to and where living people are? So it means heaven will not be a word used for where dead people go to. Moses' heaven is not as we use heaven today. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus says all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, is he talking about the sky? I hope you know that this sky is a very tricky sky. They taught you in geography that the earth is spherical. But what is holding us on the ground now is what? Gravity. So it means that while we are in Nigeria and we are standing up, there's another country, maybe Australia, that is under us. They are standing upside down, but they are standing up. So their own up is our Satan door for Golgotha. Oh, you didn't see that? When do they sing? Satan door for. So when we point heaven as sky and hell as they are talking about people. Are you here? The Bible is to make you wise concerning Jesus Christ and salvation. We'll get there shortly. So it means that Moses was not writing about the creation of the sky particularly in the book of Genesis. Listen carefully to what I just said. Bible tells you that Jesus said, if you believe Moses, you will believe me. So it means that we need to carefully read Moses to understand what Moses is saying. Look at John 1. Okay, hold on. You are in verse 18, right? All power is given unto me where? In heaven and in earth. He now says, go ye therefore in that power and what? Teach all nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the what? And of the, then this one. In the entire Bible, that is the only verse that has the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost, and it really speaks about the name of the Son. We're not looking at that today, right? So the name of the Father is the name of the Son, that is the name of the Holy Ghost. That is the work and the reputation of the Son. We did a series on the name of Jesus recently. You might want to lay your hands on that. So look at John 1:45 quickly. So it says, teaching them to observe whatsoever thing I have commanded you. So everything Jesus commanded were from the writings of Moses, by extension, the prophets and the what? Psalms. Look at John 1. John 1:45. Are you learning something? Now, Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom? Are you in John 1:45? We have found him of whom? In the Ten Commandments law? Doctrine or in his writings? So, we have found him of whom Moses in his writings and the prophet in their writings wrote about. Who is that? Jesus. So, it means that Jesus will teach from the writings of Moses and the prophet. Let me now say something very vital to your Christian faith. It means that when Jesus taught the word of God, all they had access to open as the word of God was Genesis to Malachi. Did you hear that? All they could ever open to was Genesis to what? Malachi. Jesus did not have the ability to quote Galatians because there was no book of Galatians throughout his life on earth as a I don't go there. That's a different series. I'm trying to answer my Wednesday question. You'll be all right. Yeah? Praise God. So, it means that Jesus did not expect us to relegate Genesis to Malachi. Are we here? It means the apostles did not expect us to relegate Genesis to Malachi. Let me say something further. It means that the writings of the apostles were not expected to replace Genesis to Malachi. Did you get that? So Paul did not write and say, I, Paul, the servant of the living God, I write therefore so you can replace Genesis to Malachi. So it means that the writings between Matthew to Revelation, or what you call the epistles, are explanations of what? Genesis to Malachi. So they are interpretations of Genesis. But which one is shorter? Which one is shorter? You know your Bible. Which one is shorter? Matthew to Revelation and Genesis to Malachi. Which is shorter? Matthew to Revelation is shorter. Pastor, are you saying that? How can you? We know it is shorter. How many of you passed some exams using tutorials alone? Now, can I say everybody's head nodded? You can coordinate. It's me, I'm one of them. You know how when it's time for, after 12 weeks of lecture, you miss your lectures. A lecturer just come, tutorial, by 7 p.m. Sunday night, you'll be there. What do? You go and, you know, you see the man open the book, he says, don't really pay attention to this, but just read on. Eh? What do? You write it. When you get back to your room, the only thing you read is what? So imagine, you know, brother Simon, there's tutorials. Let's go for tutorials in them. Owolabi all. And all of them just go stay and quickly just get there. But this, are we doing this kind of course? This GST through. You now look for, you now see your class rep writing notes. I say, it is my class. So you sit down. Now you missed all the lectures, but you can pass using tutorials. You know that a lot of times when you finish the exam, you don't know anything about the course again. No, you and I know by faith. It's God's wisdom. You don't know anything. If you're a junior, come and say, you know, please come and help us. You know, and the lecturer said, don't worry. Just meet your lecturer. He knows it better. He might coin it in the way to come out in there. You don't know it. So what is expected of someone who goes for a tutorial alone to understand the course? He must go back. Is tutorial shorter than the entire 12-week course? So can we say the epistles are tutorials? Then the 12-week courses are between what? Genesis. So to understand the tutorials, you must open Genesis to Malachi, except you don't want to understand it. So when Paul will write Ephesians to Ephesus, right, and when they were going to read Paul's letter, what they had in front of them was what? Genesis to Malachi. So Paul never intended that their writings will replace the writings of what? Moses and the prophets. Mind you again, none of them called Paul Jesus, none of them called Genesis to Malachi Old Testament books. Are we here? You only have Old Testament books because you have New Testament books. So if there were no New Testament books at their time, they could not have addressed anything as old. So what you call the Old Testament books was what they called the Word of God. And that was all they had for their spiritual growth. So it means that in between Genesis to Malachi is all we need as a meal to grow spiritually. What do you do nowadays? No, that is under the law. Abba, is it Abba? Abba, cool. Now whom? As if it's a question. You didn't get that. Right? Right? So everything Jesus taught was strictly from Genesis to Malachi. So if we're going to learn about in Christ's stead, you must go back to Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? So we don't see Paul or Peter writing their letters with the intent of you relegating Genesis to Malachi. So it means to understand 1 Peter 2, you have a background of Genesis to Malachi. To understand Ephesians 1:3, you have a background of what? Genesis to Malachi. To understand Revelation, you have Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? You know, and let me say this in passing. The book of Revelation is one of the most interesting books to understand as a believer. The reason why it's difficult to understand is because of where they've told your mind to be. The first line in the book of Revelation says it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it means that what ought to be revealed from the book of Revelation is the person Jesus. Not Armageddon, not Ukraine, not Russia. No, it is Jesus you would see in the book of Revelation. So you must have a proper grasp of Genesis to Malachi to understand. So for instance, John in the book of Revelation will say, that old dragon, the old serpent, Satan the devil. Moses will tell you in Genesis chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the earth. And some of you still think that serpents used to talk before. Some of us still believe that serpent was the one that screwed and say, Eve. The Eve too will respond, yes, it's cartoon, that yellow book. Satan or snakes never used to talk. That is why when John now summarizes in Revelation 12:9, you can write that down in Revelation 22, he says, the old dragon, Satan, the devil, the old serpent, Satan. So Moses used serpents to illustrate the activity of the devil. Are we here? I just said that in passing. So it means that in Bible study, we ought to understand scriptures together. Say together. So you must, to understand Jesus, you must understand Genesis to Malachi. Are we together? So when you see Jesus in Matthew 28, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It means you must understand Moses' heaven and earth before you understand what Jesus is saying. Are we together? So it means that when Moses said God created heavens and earth, he's not talking about the skies. We said that. Is that true? And where you are staying. Are we together? Are we here? Are we here? Hope you are here. Did I say God did not create where you are staying and the sky? I didn't just say that. I just said in Bible language, in Bible interpretation, you need to understand the basics of what is spoken about. Now, I hope you know Moses did not write to you in mind. Let me say it this way. I hope you know Moses did not write his letters with you in mind. Are you here? Moses did not write Genesis thinking of Ezekiel. Thinking of Sister Esther. Even though there's a book like that. Let me say it this way. Simon. There's no book of Simon. Moses did not write the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, thinking that, oh, one day there might be a Simon. No. He wrote the book of Genesis to Deuteronomy to a particular people. So it means that to understand what Moses wrote, you must sit where they sat to see what they saw. Are we together? So whilst today you would think heaven as the sky and where man is standing, that is not what they saw. Are we here? Are we here? Please follow. We're learning about the word in Christ then. So why did Moses teach that way? You see in the book of Matthew 19, verse 3 to 5, you can write that down as well. Because of the hardness of their hearts. So Moses wrote in a particular way because of the slant of their hearts. That's when they came to ask Jesus that very interesting question. This woman has several husbands. Which one will be her husband in the resurrection? And he said from the beginning it wasn't so. God made them male and female. Why did Moses write that way? Because of the hardness of their heart. Remember, what Moses wrote is the law of faith. Are you here? What Moses wrote is about the law of faith, that is the grace and truth that will come by Jesus Christ. We explain that today. Are we together? Are we together? So Jesus' audience had strictly 39 books. That was their curriculum. To understand Jesus, we ought to understand Genesis to what? Malachi. Because the interpretation of Matthew will be found where? Genesis to Malachi. So as a good Bible student, you ought not to relegate any portion of the book. All your Bible today, Genesis to Revelation. Paul did not have Genesis to Revelation. Peter did not. Jesus did not. But did they grow spiritually? Reading what? Genesis to Malachi alone. So it means that we have an advantage with Ephesians. You know, it's easy to go to Ephesians. Oh, blessed be the God and God of Father, 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 Faith, who has blessed with the spiritual blessing. It's easy to quote and revise and recite and revise. But for every statement you read in the epistles, they have their foundation in Genesis to what? Malachi. Are we together? Are we together? Praise God. So what did Jesus do? Jesus, Bible tells, look at Luke 24 again. Let's get into our teaching right now. Look at Luke 24. Are you in Luke 24? What did Jesus now do in verse 45? Okay, are you in Luke 24? Hold your hands in Luke 24 and go to Isaiah 46. Just hold it. Don't close it. Just hold it and go to Isaiah 46. I could see strongly someone who had something to do with a hospital or pharmacy today. Who is that person? Hospital or pharmacy today. Who is that person? Who is that person? You, come. I could see strongly that you have something to do with today. You went to, beautiful, come. God's power is on you right now. And that, was it for yourself? Beautiful. God's power is on you right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who's Ruth here? Who's that person? Ruth. Oh, beautiful. Come. I could see you making very let's say after church today, okay? Where are you? Isaiah 46. I say you should not close. Hope you've not closed Luke. Go to Isaiah 46. So you're in Isaiah 46, right? Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Look at verse 9. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am the God and there is no one else like me. I am the God and there is none like me. Look at verse 10. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my... So God is a God that declares the end from the beginning. So when you hear Moses say in the beginning, what is Moses declaring? in the beginning. God says, I declare the end from the beginning. So it means that what Moses will say as in the beginning will be God's counsel about the end. What is going to be the end? The work of resurrection, the work of salvation, right? So that will now be what you call the last days. Did you get that? Did you get that? So when, are you in Luke 24 again? Go back to Luke 24. I went there to show you something. So the Bible tells you that he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. What scriptures? Genesis to Malachi or Genesis to Revelation? Genesis to Malachi. So what did Jesus do? Jesus will open their heart to see that, oh, the things Moses spoke about is actually Moses declaring God's plan from the beginning, what he will do at the end. Are you here? So when Moses says, God said, let there be light, don't think of sun. It's going to be about what God will do in the last days, which is in the day of the resurrection, right? And you will see it, or you see Moses use things that seem to have happened to explain what will happen. Are you still here? I see here. So now, look at what Peter says to Jesus in Matthew 16. Now, let's start. Matthew 16. There's someone here who had a back pain. I'm not going to call you out. You had, right now, God's power is on you right now, and you are healed in the name of Jesus. Just bend your back, okay? Bend your back, it's gone. Serious, by the right hand side of your back. Serious, it's gone. It's gone, hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew 16. There's someone online that is watching me on a sick bed. Now, this is not really a sick, it might not really be a sick bed of a hospital, but a sick bed. You know, a sick bed might not necessarily be in the hospital, right? It might be in your room. But God's power is on you right now in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing right now and jump off from that bed of sickness in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Matthew 16. Now, you see in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi and he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, what did they have as their background in answering that? Genesis to Malachi. They have scripture. That's why you hear the name Elijah. Are we together? You hear the name Jeremiah, and you hear the name some prophet. Then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Now, Simon Peter now answered and said, thou art what? Thou art what? Let's start our study now. What did Peter say? Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, right? And I say unto you that thou art what? Peter, and upon this rock I will. You know, some of us thought that I will build my church, will be, Jesus wants to build his church on Peter. No. He won't build his church on someone that denied him three times. He knew. Imagine your faith is all about on that man. Are we together? So, you know, the word there, Peter, is the word Petros. It's the word Petra. It's the word that means rock. You know, and Jesus built his church on the Peter rock. No. Let's do a quick study. What did Peter say? Peter says, thou art what? Christ. Listen to me carefully. Where do you think Peter got the knowledge of Christ? It had to be from the Holy Scriptures. It had to be. Can we do a study? Are you ready? So what did he mean? Let's explain that. And what did Jesus mean by, upon this rock, I will build my church? Remember, to understand Peter's answer, you must understand Genesis 2. Are we here? To understand Peter's answer, you understand Genesis to what? Malachi. So go to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. There's someone here who left his or her job very recently. Very, very recently. And you're looking for another job. Who's that person? Very recently. Who's that person? Whilst it looks like another job is not coming, pay attention to his word yet more and more. For in that place where you will find yourself in days to come, he would use you mightily. And you see men submit their heart to God's counsel and God's will through the words of your lips. Hallelujah. Praise God. Genesis 28. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed.
And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, and all of that. And behold, I am with thee, verse 15, I will keep thee in the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not, what? Leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely, the Lord is where? In this what? Place. Verse 17, and he was not what? And he was what? Afraid. And said, how dreadful is this place? This is no other but the what? House of God. And this is the gates of what? Heaven. Are we together? This is no other but the house of God. Now, the word there, house, is the word bayith in the Hebrew. We've started in Christ the teaching just now. Okay? We just did all of that to explain how we ought to understand in Christ from Genesis to Malachi. Don't lose me. The word there, house, is the word bayith in the Hebrew. B-A-Y-I-T-H. And it's a word that is used for a place where a family stays, a dwelling habitation for a people, or a household. I'll say it again. That word there, house, is the word bayith, is the word used for a dwelling habitation for people or a household. So it's both used for both a place and a family. So can we say used for both a house and a household? Are we here? So what did Moses say and Jacob say? He says, this is no other but the bayith of what? God. Now what did Jacob do in verse 18? Are you in verse 18? Please look at verse 18. He says, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. What did he do? What did he do now? He poured oil. That's where you see the conversation, one of the first conversations of pouring oil. Right? And that was a cultural practice. In their time, when something is recognized as sacred or holy, what they do is they take oil and pour on it. So what did Jacob do? He poured oil, right, on that place. Now, did God ask him to do it? Did God ask him to pour oil? But he did. Are we together? So he poured oil on that place because he had a special encounter in that place. Are we together? Now, this is important to note again in Bible study. God communicates his word to us in human language. Let me say it better. God communicates his word to mankind in human language. So it means that God will tolerate human language and use human language to communicate his plan or his intention. He will adapt, even though he didn't initiate, he will adapt, then use it to communicate what he wants to communicate. Are we together? Now, what did Moses call it? Look at verse 18 now. He poured oil, look at verse 18, right? Genesis 28, Jacob. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And what did he call the name of the place? Please look at your Bible. What did he call the name of the place? He called the name of the place Bethel. Now, Bethel, what's the name of Bethel? House of God. Now, Bethel is gotten from the two Hebrew words, Bayith and Elohim. What is Bayith? House. What is Elohim? God. So what is Bethel? House of Elohim. That's house of God. Are we together? Now, don't forget, the word house is used for both a place where people stay and a nation, a people, a household. Are you here? So he says that word, and he called the name of the place Bethel, even though the name of the place had a name, or the place had a name called what? Luz at first. Look at chapter 31. Genesis 31, verse 12. Verse 11, Genesis 31, verse 11. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thy eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle. I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Now look at verse 13. Let's read verse 13 together. Genesis 31, 13. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the God of what? Where thou anointest the what? Pillar. Now the word they anointed is a word that is in the Hebrew, mashak. Right? So what did Jacob do with the pillar? He anointed. He anointed. He anointed. Now, that is the genesis of the word anointed. One of the genesis of the word anointed in scriptures. Are we together? Are we together? In the Hebrew manuscript, we see that he anointed the place. Guess what the word of anointed is in the Greek? The word anointed in the Hebrew, that is mashak, is the word Christos. In the Greek, which is where you get the word what?
Christ. So, did Jacob Christ the place? What did he do? He anointed. I would say the word anointed is what? Christos, which is, okay, hold on. We'll get there gradually. So he says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointed the pillar. So Mashach is the word Christos in the Greek, which is the English word Christ, which is the English word what? Anointed. Are we here? So when we say Christ is the Messiah, do we say Christ is the anointed? So Christ is the Messiah that is the anointed. Follow attentively to what I'm about to say, right? So the place where Jacob poured oil is an anointed what? If you pour oil here, what do you call this place? Anointed place now. It's not, I'm not looking for a Greek word. So the place Jacob poured oil is an anointed place. Can we say it's a Christos place? Can we say it's a Christ place? What did Jacob see in his vision? Go back to verse chapter 28, verse 16. Are you in 28 verse 16? Can we read verse 16 together? 1, 2, 3, go. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is what? So who will you find in the place that Jacob anointed? That's God. So you will find God in the anointed place. Are we together? So Jacob will pour oil on the surface, and the surface was where he saw God and what God will do, which is God's plan. Are we here? So will that be anointed Bethel? Bethel, he said he saw the house of God, be it of Elohim. So can we say anointed Bethel? Can we say anointed household or anointed house? Who did Jacob see? God. Where will you see God? You will see God in his house now. That means you see God in the midst of his household. Don't lose me. Okay? So, it means that when you look at Bethel from Jacob's conversation, you can say this is the anointed house of God or the anointed place. Now, why did he call it anointed? It's about something that is what? Sacred. Are we here? Go back to verse 30 where we started reading from, Genesis 28, 13. What did he say there? He said, and behold, the Lord stood above it and he said, I am the what? The Lord God of what? So was Abraham Jacob's grandfather? Who is the grandfather of Jacob now? Abraham now. So I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. He now says what? The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy... Hold on. So it means that the promise to Jacob is the same promise to Abraham. So the promise to Abraham is the promise of a seed. Are we here? So it means if you know the promise to Abraham, you can know the promise to Isaac and the promise to Jacob. Go to Galatians, Galatians 3. Hold your hands in Genesis 28 and go to Galatians 3. Are you in Galatians 3, 16? Galatians 3, 16. Are you there? Galatians 3, 16. Try check your Bible so we read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now to what? Who wrote Galatians? Moses? Paul. So for Paul to know about Abraham, he knew Genesis to what? So let's read verse 16 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of, but as of, and to thy seed which is. So the seed God promised Abraham is the seed of Christ. We also said that the promise to Abraham is the promise to Isaac, which is the promise to Jacob. So if you know the seed promise to Abraham, you know the seed promise to who? Isaac and Jacob. Go back to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. So the seed of Abraham is the seed of Isaac, that is the seed of Jacob. And we know Abraham's seed is as of Christ or Christ. So you know Isaac's seed promise, right? And you know what? Jacob's seed. Now, if you look at verse 13 very well, it says, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. So it means that a promise for the seed is about a land. Are we together? And thy seed shall be, verse 14, as the dust of the earth. So it means that the seed promised to Abraham will first be a single seed, then plenty seeds. Is that not there? Is that one seed that will become dust of the earth? Are you here? the one seed will first be singular, then plural. Are we together? So, and this will now spread abroad the west, the east, the north, and the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the what? The earth be what? Blessed. So, when he says to Abraham and to thy seed, which is Christ, can we say to thy seed, which is Christos, which is anointed, which is what? Christ. Are you following me? So, look at verse Genesis 17. Go three chapters, ten chapters, 11 chapters before then, and see the promise to Abraham. Genesis 14, verse 5. Genesis chapter 17:5. Genesis 17:5-8. Are you there? Genesis chapter 17, verse 5-8. He says, neither shall thy name any more be called what? But thy name shall be, for a father of many nations have I made thee. You know, the real father of many nations is our God. Right, we did a teaching on that. You might lay your hands on that. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Hold on. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of what? So the promise to Abraham will have to do with a seed, then what? Seeds, which is what you call nations shall come out of what? Of thee. Are you here? So to first be a singular seed, and will now be a plenteous seed. Hope you are here. And I'm establishing my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. Remember, Galatians says the seed is who? Christ. And in thy generations for an everlasting what? For an everlasting covenant, right? To be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. So what will you find in the seed from Genesis chapter 17 verse 6? Nations will be found there, and the people that will be nations will be what? Kings. Kings, kings, kings. Look at verse 6 now. It's in your Bible. It's not there. I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations out of thee, and king. So what is God's plan with Abraham's seed? To create a nation of kings. Are you here? So a nation of kings will come out from Abraham's promised seed. He now tells you in verse 8, and I will give unto thee and thy seed after thee the land. So it means the seed will have a land. Did you read that in Genesis 28? And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, or the land of what? Canaan, for what? An everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So the land God promised to man in the real sense will be an everlasting possession for what? Man. Now hold on. When we say in thy seed, nations will come forth and kings will come forth, can we say that the anointed seed will build an anointed household? Is it an or A? You get the point. Wait. We said the seed is the anointed. And that seed will bring nations. Is that going to be the seed that is anointed will bring nations of anointed people who will be kings? Did you get that? So the king, that is the seed that is the anointed, will bring a nation of anointed people, and they will be what? They will be kings. They will be kings. So the anointed seed is building an anointed house. Is equal to is building an anointed what? Household. Are we together? So it means that the promise of kingship, the promise of the seed to Abraham, is the promise of the anointed seed, which will bring forth a people. Are we together? Now, will those anointed people be priests? Would they be prophets? So does that now make sense? Here I chosen a royal priesthood. That means you are a king and a priest in God's anointed what? Household or house or nation or people. So touch not my anointed. I didn't hear you. I didn't say coach. I know it. So touch not my anointed is not unique. Did you get it? No, I didn't say anything. Go to Psalm 105. Go there. We will say it. Psalm 105 verse 15. Psalm 105 verse 15. You first find it in the book of, you know, and David's writing and all of that. Are you there? Psalm 105 verse 15. What does it say? 1, 2, 3, go together. Saying, okay. Touch
not my anointed and do.
So it means that God's anointed will be God's prophet, which will be God's priest, found in God's anointed nation. So the anointed they ought not to touch is not about the pastor, but inclusive of the pastor and believers. Did you get that? Right? But the concept of the anointed is inclusive of the ministry gifts and what? The nation that God will produce in the seed that is anointed, which is Christ. Are we together? So the ones that are called anointed are called prophets. You know, fundamentally, a prophet is not one who knows your phone number. You know, Babalawo can tell your phone number. Did you forget it? That's why what differentiates a believer from a Babalawo is what he says about God's word. I can bring Abalis for you right now. You will wear suits. And you will use marine power or demonic power to see your account. Have you not experienced knowing and seeing by the Spirit? We've seen it now, but that's not the cocoa. Because it's not unique to the believer. I hope you know that. Knowing your date of birth is not unique to you. Mama Lawo, Baba Lawo, Brother Lawo, Sister Lawo, Cousin Lawo, all of them can see depending on how strong your Lawo is. Are we together? Depending on how strong your Lawo is. Are we together? So, what differentiates God's holy prophet is what they say about God's word and God's plan. Moses puts a category to that. How to know a true prophet? So, you don't know a true prophet by, I see. You wore black yesterday. Okay. I could have seen your picture. Why do we do words of knowledge, word of wisdom? It's to identify who God wants to speak to part time. Not to show off. Are we together? So, touch not my anointed. The anointed will be prophets that will be kings from the seed that is what? Anointed. So, when Jesus now says to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Would that be, upon this rock I will build anointed people. And those anointed people will be kings and priests, which you will call them prophets. Are we together? So what did Jesus say? I will build my church. So what is God's church about? God's church is a nation of kings and priests. That's why Hebrews now tells you what? We've come to Zion, the city of the living God. The what? The heavenly what? Jerusalem, the what again? Inner merry company of angels. The church of the firstborn. Spirit of justice made perfect. So the heavenly Jerusalem is what God is building. You know, like the person that led us in singing today, you know, he said something, you know, important, you know, that God, whilst he has built his church in the resurrection, he is building his church through you and I. Because there are people who will join the church tomorrow. That means the building of the church is both finished and what? Ongoing. Did you get that? So the building of the church is the building of anointed men, an anointed nation of priests who are kings. Hallelujah. So look at David now. Look at 2 Samuel 7. Are you learning something? 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Now, it says, he shall build a house for my... Some of you, 2 Samuel is not opening unto you. You are trying to open it. It's not responding. 2 Samuel is after when you pass Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, you know, you now come 1 Samuel. Are you 2 Samuel 7? Look at verse 12. It says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed. How come seed is coming out again? Remember, the first use of seed is Genesis 3. And the seed of the woman shall bruise. Is that a promise? Is that a promise? The seed of the woman shall bruise. Right? That same seed promised to Adam, Eve, is the same seed promised to Abraham, Isaac. Look at the same seed to David now. He says, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed after thy boys, and I will establish his kingdom. Hold on. He shall, is that the seed? The seed shall build a what? A house. Is that a household? Anointed household? For my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom. Anything that has to do with forever, it's God that does it. You get that? So the seed promised to David is the seed promised to Abraham, and is the seed promised to Isaac, and the seed promised to who? Jacob. Hallelujah. So when Peter says, you are the Christ, what is he saying? You are the anointed. then the church is found in the anointed as a anointed people, an anointed people as a nation. Nation of kings and what? Priests. So the anointed is first one person, then what? Plenty people found in him. So that means the anointed is about a function. Function of priesthood. Function of the prophets. To speak God's counsel and to bring people from darkness into what? Light, which is the marvelous world, which is his kingdom, heavenly Jerusalem. Are we together? So look at Psalm 2 now. Psalm 2. If you're with me, say I'm with you. Say I'm following. And I'm following well. Look at Psalm 2. Are you in Psalm 2? Verse 1. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. He now says the kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his. Against the Lord and against his what? Is the anointed a king? The anointed is first a king, that is Christ, that will bring many kings. So the kings of this earth, that means the writer of Psalm 2 is talking about two kings. The kings of the earth and the king that is the anointed, which is Christ. Are we here? Let us break their bands asunder. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. Now look at verse 6. Yet have I set my... Is that the king that is the anointed? Upon my holy hill of what? So it means that we've come to Zion. We have a king in Zion. And in the kingship of our king in Zion, we are kings. Hallelujah. Did you get that? In the kingship of our king in Zion, we are kings. Praise God. So he says, I will set my king. That's what you see in 2 Samuel, 12. 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. When he says, I will set his throne and his kingdom shall be what? Forever. Are we together? So he now says that verse 7, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my, and this day have I what? You know, this is where this translation comes from. You know, that God says to you, thou art my son. Today is your birthday. What do you want? Name it. Bible tells you today. Is it Amplified or Message? Message. You know that. For us people that laugh about Greek and Hebrew translation, why did you go to Message to see what Psalm 2:7 is saying? Because you want to be covetous. You don't know your birthday, Sister Prosperous. Why should the pastor come and tell you every Sunday this is your birthday? Name it. And what you are naming for is nations. If God give you nation, what will He give me? If He share nation, how many nations do we have in the world? If He share among 10 people, what is left? So, the nation, that was thy birthday, today is your birthday, is only birthday. My birthday is July 11. It's only birthday of the one who is set as a king in the everlasting kingdom. So, what does he now say? Ask of me, and I will give thee. You are not too young to know that it's not everything you've asked God you've gotten. Even your spiritual father. You are not too young to know that. God cannot just say, ask me for everything. Oh yeah, you ask me, I ask God for the same woman. You ask God for the same woman. Who will go answer first? The first to ask. What happens if we ask together? First come, first serve. Or the one that defeats will get there shortly. Praise God. Right? So Christ is the anointed. So when he says, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance and the uttermost part of thy earth for thy possession. You now see Jesus says in Matthew 28 verse 18, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore into the world and preach the gospel to all nations, teaching them to observe what I have commanded. Right? He says, Acts 1:8, and shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. And shall witness upon me in what? Witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the what? Uttermost part of the earth. So it is God's will, and he will do that through the resurrection of his son to bring nations into the nation. That's into the anointed. That's into Christ. Are we together? Right? So the inheritances of people in that nation will be more people coming into the marvelous light. So when Jesus is the seed to David that will build a house. Are we here? Jesus is the seed to Abraham that will build a what? A house. Can we say a household? Can we say a family? Is it going to be a family? Is it going to be a nation? Is it going to be a nation of people in the earth? So when the gospel is preached and it is believed, the one who believes has come into the what? What Jacob saw on that surface. Abi? Which is the what? Beit or Bethel. Bethel. So the gospel is the message that says God wants to bring you into Bethel. Hallelujah. And the people who come into Bethel are people who their sins are what? Forgiven eternally. Praise God. Praise God. So when the message is believed, we've come into the house of God. Can we say the household of God? Is that right? Can we say we've come into the anointed? Can we say we've come into God's seed? Can we say we've come into the anointed? Who's the anointed? Christos, which is. So can we say we've come into Christ? So we have come into. So where are we? Before you get to the theme of the meeting, where are we? We are where? Start from the beginning now. We are in the seed. Yes. Dust of the earth that will grow for north, south, east, and west. We are in the seed. We are in the house. Household. We are both in the house. We are in the household. We are amongst the nation. We are amongst the family. We are amongst the anointed. Mashak. Eh? Mashak, right? Are you here? We are amongst the Mashak, that is the Christos, and we are where? In Christ. So Jacob saw it ahead. And who was responsible for building that household? The seed, which is Christ. Are you with me this evening? Hope you are following. So where will you be found as a believer? You will be found in the anointed that people ought not to touch and do no harm. Did you get that? So once you believe the gospel, you have come into what? God's house. You've come into what? God's house. Never forget, Peter, Paul, Jesus, they are all interpreting what we are interpreting today. That means Jesus read Genesis 28. That means somewhere in the mind of Peter, when he says, you are Christ, anointed place came to his mind. Is that not true? So what did Peter do? He read scriptures together and came out with a revelation from the scriptures. So it means that accurate dividing of God's word brings out accurate revelation of God as a person, which is going to be found in his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells you in 1 Peter, it says, no prophecy of scriptures is of what? Private interpretation. We read it together. Say we read scriptures. Say we read scriptures together. So we don't jump some parts, you know. You know, some of you like some parts of the Bible. Oh, you'll be blessed in the morning. When you go out in the morning, in the evening. But go for evangelism. In the morning, in the evening. That's what gives birth to this very interesting question. You know how people say, you know, in the church, there are 3 G's. Say 3 G's. We have the goers, we have the groaners, and we have the givers. Not everybody is called to go for evangelism. Something is just, you know, I'm part of the givers. You know, God blessed me so I can give evangelists to go to the missionary field. No, every believer is a goer, a groaner, and a giver. You know, the groaners are the ones that will stay in the church and pray, Lord, those people that have gone ahead, we cover them in your hands. The blood of Jesus. Then those ones will now go, relying on the prayer of the groaners. There are some people who just been there, CCTV camera. No, that one. Just give him some money. We add more miles to where it's supposed to cover. No, we are all groaners, all givers, and all goers. Why? Because we are anointed people found in the anointed king, which is the seed that will bring all the whole earth into God's holy family. Say, there's a task on my hand, and I will go. So when Jesus met them, let them Luke 24, where we started from, what did he say to them? He said, oh fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Enter. Why did he call them fools? It was because they were not reasoning scriptures together. You know, fools is not so much of an insult. I hope you know, Jesus did not call anybody fools. I hope you know. But you are the one saying that fool is an English word and Jesus does not speak English. So fool is an English word that Jesus knew nothing about. What was he really saying? You ought to reason scriptures together. You are not reasoning scriptures together. What did he now do? Immediately he said that, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So how do you learn about Jesus? Moses and the prophets. How do you learn about your realities? Moses and the prophets. So redemption, righteousness, God's forgiveness of sins will first be taught in the writings of Moses, then the prophet, before you see Jesus, then the apostles. Are we here? So let's go back to Genesis as we try to tie the knot around. I'm sorry I tied the knot around for a few minutes. You'll get it afterwards. Remember? Moses wrote about Jesus Christ, John 1:45. Philip finds Nathanael and said unto him, behold, he whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write about, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So you now see Genesis chapter 1. So when you read Genesis chapter 1, where should your mind go to? The creation of the earth or the creation of the new creation? It has to be the new creation. Did I say God did not create the earth? I didn't say that. Remember, Moses will use their knowledge to teach them. Bible will tell you, you know, in Hebrews, that Moses was skilled in all the knowledge of the Egyptians. Moses was, Acts, I think. He was very skillful. Very skillful. Moses was very wise. Are we together? You know, why did Moses not write like that? If they gave you that task to write, I don't know what he would write. So Moses now opens up the Bible. He now says what? In the beginning, God created the what? Heavens and earth. So your mind will say, wow, see the beautiful skies. That's when we sing that song as a church, for instance. I see the stars, I see the roaring. So we now sing that song. Oh Lord my God, when I'm in awesome order, consider all the works the hand has made. I see your church. I see the new creation. Did I say it's bad to talk about God created the stars? No. Tells me 3:15, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So when you read Genesis, you think salvation. Hallelujah. So look at Genesis 1, verse 26. Are you in Genesis 1, 26? Look at 27. He says, God created man in his own image. Are we together? And in the image of God created he, him, male and female created he. Remember, who is writing Genesis 1? To a people that are what? Israelites. So it means that when Moses says image to Israelites, they know what he was talking about. Are we together? Let me give you a brief study on that, summarized study. The word their image is a word that is a corporate status. Everybody look at me. Please look at me. This is not what God looks like. This is not what God looks like. God cannot be. You know those ruler, when you turn on that light, it now reflect on that image. You know that ruler when we're growing up? Do like this, you see Spider-Man. Turn like this, you see glasses. No, God doesn't have diverse images. No, think about yourself now. No, now, if God was like, yeah, fearfully made. See, the image of God, right, is a corporate status. And when you say that to an Israelite, the word that comes to their mind is selem. Remember, Moses never mentioned the word image. He spoke what to them? Hebrew. So what would they hear? Selem. The word selem is a word used to speak about a physical representation of the unseen. So you are only the image of God to the degree in which you are found in Christ. So the image of God is about a corporate status, a corporate responsibility, not how you look. Remember when I was small in primary school? Because I used to have half teeth. I don't even know what was even wrong with me in my looks. I just used to look one way. You know, anytime everybody just saw me, my brother would tell me, tell them, I'm the image of God. I'm the image of God. If you like, create image of God in your front shirt, your back shirt, in your the image of God is a corporate status. How do we know? See what it says in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, him. Don't be fast. Male and female created he. So there is him, there is male, there is female. Who is the him? There are three characteristics there. We have him, we have male, we have female. So the him is different from the male. All together. That's why Paul will now tell 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world has burned their hearts. Lest the light of the glorious gospel shine upon on their hearts. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Colossians 2 now tells you, the image of the invisible God is Christ. Hebrews 1, the express image of his person is Christ. So the image of God is Christ. So God's plan from time has been that male and female are found in Christ. So if a man can be a pastor, a woman can be a pastor. Don't allow what culture has done or caused us to, you know, to now make it look as if, No. That's like Paul now tells in Galatians. In Christ, there's neither what? Male nor female. So what does he now say? He says what? In the image of God created him. So who are the him, the male and female that he created in verse 27? Are those male and female believers? Are they male and female believers? So when he now says, and God, and verse 28, God bless them. And ask them to what? Be fruitful. Is that husband and wife? It can't be husband and wife. If it's husband and wife, that means menopause tampers with that knowledge. If it's husband and wife, it means that Brandon also doesn't have the right to test that place and we are okay. It's any time when God just wants, just throw it. You know, and that's the knowledge of God creates children first in one universe. Then, you know, anywhere they just see things happening, just throws the baby inside. You are joking. You are joking. Yeah. See, marriage is holy. So if God's plan, that's why people who don't marry can sleep together and give birth. God shouldn't have tolerated if he's the one permitting it. You didn't see that? Do you understand? If fornication is a sin, he shouldn't tolerate a child from fornication. Because no matter, if that was the case, you'll get it later. Imagine God, if that was, okay, he got it. Some of you get it when you get home. If the case was that, what? You can, no matter what you do, as long as you're not married, no child can come. When you not see, and God blessed them, who are the them? Male and female in Christ. And he said what? Be fruitful and multiply. How will male and female be fruitful and multiply? That means man in partnership with God will go out and preach the gospel, Matthew 28. And when people come into the harvest, that's what? The fruitfulness and the multiplicity. That's not talking about childbirth. Are we together? Are we together? So when they hear Moses say image of God, they are thinking the physical representation. I hope you know that in Moses' time, there was no science knowledge. You know, Moses' time was pre-science. I hope you know. I hope you also know. Let me say this as well. I hope you know that when Moses wrote about God took a rib from a man, he wasn't talking about you as a lady. Why do ladies that are older than men marry men as their husbands? I mean, the man is your rib. No, think about it now. Think about it now. Imagine if he's supposed to be the man first, then God will now allow the man to sleep. Then now remove rib and now say, you, if you don't find your rib, you are going to be missing. You don't find the rib, so you now be going to for prayer altar to prayer mountain. Oh Lord, oh, whose rib am I? Oh, don't be that. If that is the concept, it means that a man must always be older than his wife. And they cannot even be age mates, because what is the time difference for God to remove the rib? I said, she not sleep well. So when Moses said rib, they didn't remember. Joshua will tell you that what? Bible tell you that Joshua said he caused the sun to stand still. Geography has taught you today that sun does not move. So which sun did he have to stand still? That was their knowledge of science then. Then they thought sun was moving. Now you know better. If you don't know that fundamental truth, you need to check a lot. So it means that when Moses will say God took a rib, they will not think of rib. They didn't know biology. They didn't know brain. The word there, rib, is the word selah. It's what that deals with the side of a building. So it means that the conversation of Adam's deep sleep is to point to attention to something else. Let me explain it for us because of time. Right? Paul will now tell you Ephesians chapter 5. He says what? For we are members of his body, members of his bone. Right? He says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and shall become what? One flesh. He now tells you, you can write it down and read it later. This is a mystery. But I speak about what? Christ and the church. So Adam is the Christ that fell into a deep sleep and a rib was taken out. Who is the rib? Eve, which is the church. So Adam will be Christ, falling into a deep sleep, that is the death, into the resurrection. Right? And in the resurrection, you see what? The rib, which is the church. Are you here? Have you gone home? You're here, right? So it means that there's so much to really say. So be fruitful and multiply. Will not be go and be giving birth to children as you will. No. It is to go into the world and what? Preach the gospel. And he that believes, Mark 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be what? Shall be saved. So who is the image of God? I quoted that from 2 Corinthians, Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3. You can write that down, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 to 5. Then Colossians 1, verse 12 to what? 15. So the image of God is Christ as a person, and male and female will be found where? In him. So let's look at the phrase in Christ. Now, in Christ is not going to be a phrase seen in the epistles as for what it is. What I mean is this. No other author of scriptures apart from, you know, in the writings of the epistles will you see in Christ. And it's a word that was used about 130 times in the writings of Paul and all of that. And when you now add by him, by whom, it's about 160 times. Now, when Paul tells you about in Christ, and I tell you you are in Christ and you are in the anointed, what is Paul teaching? Identification with the anointed. So it means that to understand your identification, you must understand Christ, who you are in, and who? That is the anointed. Are we together? So it's important to take note of what in Christ realities will mean, and you'll be able to deal with your identity from that conversation. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you still here? I hope you're learning. Let's try tidy knots around. 2 Corinthians 5. Are you in verse 17? He now says, therefore. How many of you can start a sentence in your office with therefore? Do you just go to your office one Monday morning and say, therefore? Therefore, I have come. Therefore, I'm going out by 2 a.m. They will first look at you and ask police to carry you out. So when you see therefore in the Bible, you must know what it is therefore. Word. To acquire, to perspire, then refire, then end up in fire. Glory. So, therefore, if any man, now any man will be any man at all. Don't lose track. Okay, if any man be in Christ, that any man, is there an open check to all men? But particularly, it is for all men to come into, can we say, if any man be in the anointed? Yeah? If any man be in the anointed, if any man be in Christos, if any man be in Mashach, if any man be in the seed, right? So if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. All things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become what? So you must know what it is there for. Go back to verse 14. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which was, died for them and what? Rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If any man be in the anointed, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? He now tells you all things. Now, all things does not include your house. Are we together? You know, remember, Bible context, you would have to look at it in the immediate context. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It's not everything on earth. You cannot fly to Portugal now. Small area, one junction, you cannot disappear. Are we together? Yeah, so I can do all things is in the context in which it is used. That should not be a concern of a well-taught believer. I'm trying to use that statement for everything. Can you print flyer? Yes, I can do all things. Can you... Be careful. Express is not what... Some of you get away, get home. So, all things are of God, who has what? Reconciled us to himself by what? Jesus Christ. And had given unto us a what? Ministry of what? Is ministry of reconciliation about the priesthood for the kings of the nation? Did you get that? So you are a king in God's anointed, which is in God's nation, and you are called to be a priest, that is a prophet. Touch not my, and do my, so the anointed will be the prophet. So what is a prophet? God's spokesman, someone who is a spokesperson representative of someone else. So you are God's prophet. Look at everybody and say, you are God's prophet. Say, you are God's prophet. So what he now says that he has given unto us, so he has given unto his prophets the ministry of what? Reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not putting the children unto them, and accompanied unto us the word. That's the message of reconciliation. Now then, as ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ besieges you by us, we pray in Christ that be ye reconciled to God. For he had made him to be seen for us, who knew no what? That we might become the what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are we together? So he says we are a new creature. The word here new is the word that deals with kainos. Pray for me while I close. Right? Kainos. Kainos is a word that speaks about a species that has never existed. What that means is this. You know, the Bible tells you in Mark 16, they shall speak with new tongues. New tongues is a tongue for the believer that is not a language of any other tribe on earth. So the new creation or the new creature is a creature, a being, a believer who has come into God's what? Holy nation, that is God's anointed nation. Right? And by that, you've been given a ministry. So, there is the finished part of God's work, and there is the what? Ongoing part of God's work. Are we together? Are we together? So, when Bible tells you in 2 Corinthians 1, it says all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen in what? In where? What does that mean? It means the promises of God that were as promised have now been fulfilled in the anointed. Hey! Are we together? So that people who are part of the anointed will go out in the ministry of reconciliation and bring more people into the harvest. Because God wants the entire earth to be saved. So you are not in Christ to just celebrate your finished works. You know, I know it's finished work, really. You know, finished works. You know, we're finished works. You know, everything is done, undone. That's why you see some people, when it's time for them to pray, they just say, see, we don't pray for victory. We pray from victory. Yes, pray from victory. Oga, you pray from victory to victory. When you see the hearts of men and how they are very dark and they need God's word, you know that there is real victory that is ahead. You know, all the work is done. You know, all I just do, you know, grace is the hand by which God supplies. Then faith just what? Receives. All you need to do as a believer is just to receive. No, there is a ministry of reconciliation in your hands. And it will not always be comfortable for you. Are we together? So there is the done deal in Christ Jesus in the resurrection. And there is the what? Ongoing. So go back to Matthew 16 while we close. Have you learned something today? Look at Matthew 16, verse 14, thereabouts. Are you there? He now says in verse 15, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, what? Thou art what? Is that thou art the anointed? Are you here? Thou art the what? Anointed. That means Peter had the foundation of the anointing of Jacob. Is that true? Peter had the foundation of the anointing of Jacob. He had the foundation of the promised seed and the land that will be given to the seed. So God's plan is for the entire earth to be his. So when you say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, it is God's promised plan that all men come into the marvelous light. All men come into that anointed. All men come into that seed, which is to be found in Christ. And when you come into that seed, you are called into responsibility. It's not always be comfortable, but you'd have to leave your comfort zone. Are we together? Don't be one who allows businesses or work to take over their devotion to God. Dear saint, let me tell you for free, you can be in Christ, serve God well, and still be successful in your career. Oh, okay, say how people sound there as if people are preaching against that. Say that. You can serve God well and still do well in your career. What is priority? Service to God. Service to God. Service to God. You know, Pastor, I got two job offers. One of them said I'll be working from Monday to Friday, but I'll be working from 3 p.m., you know, and even on Sunday, I'll be working by 9 a.m. You know, another one just said, just come Monday to Friday. Pastor, which one should I take? What should I now tell you? Unfortunately, maybe the one that is asking you to come in the night is paying man on Sunday. You are in Christ called for. So why do you have to make yourself available in services? Because you ought to be trained well, so that you can do the work of ministry well to bring people into the harvest. So Jesus, Peter says, thou art the Christ. Can we say Peter said thou art the anointed? Remember, he will be reading the Hebrew, which will show you the Mashak. That means he knew about Jacob. So thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We didn't touch that today. Right? Then he now says what? Now, that Son of the living God, is that the same Son in Psalm 2? Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations as thy inheritance. So who will receive the nations as thy inheritance? The anointed seed, which is the anointed Christ, which is Christ, so to say. So he says, thou art Christ, thou art the anointed Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. We'll look at that some other time. And I say unto you, thou art what? Peter, and upon this rock I will build. So, hold on. Would you have seen a building of a church on a rock in Genesis Malachi? Would you have seen a building of a church on a rock in Genesis Malachi? With your knowledge today. Would you have seen? You will see now. Was it not on a rock surface that Jacob slept and saw the house of God? Is the house of God not the church of God? Is that not the household of God? So it means that when you read Jacob well, when you read Moses well, you will see upon a rock God building a house. That is a people. That is anointed kings, anointed priests, anointed prophets, Are we together? So he says, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of Hades will what? Shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the what? The keys of the kingdom of what? The kingdom of what? Where did people go to? And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt what? Bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be what? Loose in heaven. The concept of binding and loosing in scriptures is a concept that teaches about forgiveness of what? Sins. It's not a concept used to teach about casting out demons from people. Are we together? That's why that song we sang earlier today, right? It says, when we bind and loose, we proclaim your truth. So, binding and losing is supplying God's forgiveness of sins. Don't be deceived by this closing of Bible. Come, come here till 9 o'clock. It's not by Bible. They know. Right? So, when we bind and we lose, what is that? We are to proclaim the truth about the eternal forgiveness of sin that God has offered in the what? Resurrection. Are we together? So, if someone should ask you, where are you found today? You are found in the anointed. Can we say you are found in Christ? Can we say you are found in the rock? Can we say we are found in the church? Can we say you are found in God's household? Can you say we are found in God's nation, God's family, God's prophets, God's anointed? Are we together? So it means that everything you would understand from the concept of the in Christ realities is going to end up with a call to more work. Did you hear what I said? I'll say that one more time in case you didn't miss, you missed that. Everything you will understand about your identity with that Christ, in the anointed, is going to end up with a call to more what? More responsibility. So coming into God's rest is not coming into God's rest to sleep. It's coming into God's rest to walk. So God's rest is labor. You didn't like the sound of that? Because when you come into God's rest, you have come into God's anointed, which is God's holy nation that is in Christ. So coming into God's rest is a call to what? Labor. Labor over what? Over the hearts of men. Are we together? Have you been blessed this evening? Have you learned something this evening? Glory to God. 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 Say, I'm that man. Say, I'm that man. I'm that man. Found in Christ. Say, I'm that man that is anointed, that is found in the anointed. Say, I'm that man that is anointed, that is found in the anointed. Say, I'm that man that is in Christ, called into a ministry of reconciliation. Say, I will go. I will go. Say, I will preach. I will go. I will preach. Say, it will not be convenient. It might not be convenient, but I will go out of my way and preach God's word to bring people into God's harvest. Say, to bring people into God's harvest. Say, I'm a man giving to the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer. Say, I'm a man giving to the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer. Say, from today, my ministry takes a new turn and I go out preaching God's word, shining God's light. Shining God's light, bringing men out of darkness into the marvelous light. Say, I'm not shy. Say, I'm not shy. Say, I'm bold. Say, I'm bold. Say, I'm anointed. Say, I'm anointed. Say, I'm an anointed king. Say, I'm an anointed king. Say, I'm in God's holy nation. Say, I'm in God's heavenly Jerusalem. Say, I'm in Christ forever. Say, I'm there forever. Say, God will use me. 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 Say, I surrender myself yet more to the will of the Father. Say, I surrender myself yet more to the will of the Father. Say, I'm not shy. Say, I don't chicken out. Say, I don't chicken out. Say, I don't chicken out. Say, I'm not a coward. Say, I'm bold. Say, I have utterance. Say, I have utterance. Say, men will hear of this gospel from my lips. Say, men will be delivered from bondage through the word of my lips. Say, I don't chicken out. I don't shy out. I don't chicken out. I don't shy out. Say, signs and wonders are normal to me in Christ Jesus. Say signs and wonders are normal to me in Christ Jesus. Say there's no fear here. There's no doubt here. Say I flow in the ability of the Holy Ghost. Say I flow in the ability of the Holy Ghost. Say no matter what goes my way, say I will laugh at the devil. Say I will laugh at the devil. Say I will laugh at the devil. You see, this is how we comport ourselves in the Holy Ghost.